Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us new eyes to see that which happens here on this altar every weekend. Give us a new mind to better understand how you wish to be present for us. Ultimately, Lord, we ask that you transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. So as Father Don mentioned, today we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. Why? We might wonder. At least I found myself wondering that the last couple weeks as I've been praying and poring over these readings and asking the Lord what it is that he wishes to share with us this weekend. We're Catholic. We receive communion. We come up. The priest or the minister says the body of Christ. We say amen. We receive. And on we go. It's incredibly easy for you and for me to forget, to either forget or to have awareness fade, or even have understanding of what happens on this altar to never quite materialize. That bread and wine substantially change to the body and blood of Jesus. So here's this feast today, instituted over, almost 1,000 years ago to help remind us of what we are doing here. One of those things that are a component of Corpus Christi is oftentimes a procession, which we will have after the 12:30 Mass. Some of you are coming back for that around 1:30. Our Lord will be placed in the monstrance here. We'll leave these walls of the church and across over Iola Road as police officers will stop traffic on Iola, and we'll go into a neighborhood and around the streets. We'll loop around, back crossing Iola Road with the police officers blocking traffic, and into the church we go, come back. And if you've never been part of a Eucharistic procession, you can bet that there will be people breaking their necks looking either in the cars or in their homes out the window saying, "What the heck is going on?" And as well they should. The procession really makes it clear that what we are doing here, or what happens here, is unlike, radically different, and even scandalous to many of our, even our fellow brothers and sisters, Christians from other denominations. A 16th century reformer who left the Catholic Church and began his own church, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, in his sermon, wrote this: "There is no festival more hostile than this one, because it is the most shameful festival. At no festival are God and his Christ more blasphemed than on this day, and particularly by the procession. For then people are treating our Lord with such shame that it becomes only play-acting and is just vain idolatry. Therefore, beware of such worship." In other words, he's telling his congregation, right, that what happens in the Catholic Mass is just idolatry. So his warning to his congregation is a good one, because week after week, we come here and we kneel. And we either kneel before God, or we're kneeling and worshiping and idolizing, as this 6th century reformer said, worshiping and idolizing a piece of bread. There's no middle ground. And like, I wish there was. Pardon me, like, I wish there was a middle ground. But we're either worshiping a piece of bread, or it's God. Another 16th century person, her name, Margaret Clitheroe. Margaret was in England during the time of Queen Elizabeth I's reign. And during that time, she converted to Catholicism. If you are a Catholic, during the time of Queen Elizabeth I's reign in England, You were oftentimes imprisoned, right, if you showed public display of your faith. It was an act of treason to celebrate the Mass. Therefore, there was a bounty on the head of every priest. Priests were often, when they were found, they were beaten, tortured, and killed. So Margaret would hide priests in her home. She would make what became known as priest holes. And she would hide priests, she would take them in, and she would hide them in the holes in her home when authorities would go around looking for priests. And when it was clear, priests would come out of these priest holes that Margaret of Clitheroe had, and they would then celebrate Mass to so give the Eucharist to the community. Well, Margaret eventually got caught. And before the officials, she refused to answer the questions in fear that the whereabouts of the priest would be uncovered, and therefore the people would be deprived of the Eucharist. So she refused to talk. And so she was martyred by being pressed to death. So they placed her on a number of sharp rocks, and they placed a something of a large wooden door platform, and they slowly placed large boulders and rocks on the door until she was pressed to death. I can't think of a more silly reason to die than if what happens on this altar is merely a sign or a symbol of Jesus. And up and down the centuries, we can read stories over and over and over again of those who have gone before us that have been killed for protecting what happens on this altar. And yet there is something, as one study reveals, something like 60% of Catholics don't believe that Jesus Christ is truly and really substantially present in the Eucharist. That the bread and wine become the second person of the Trinity, become God. See, many of us grew up like being told what to believe, right? Like bread turns to Jesus, we call it the Eucharist. Like that's what we believe as Catholics. That's the Catholic way. It's a mystery. Just believe it. And it is a mystery. But we're meant to use our mind, our reason, to better understand if we knew the story behind it from page one of the Bible, page one of Genesis, the Passover, the Exodus, the blood, the sacrificial lamb, the manna in the desert in Exodus. Everything begins to make sense, to peel back the layers of the Old Testament. But we've almost been like trained to hear like what we heard in the first reading today, which is one of those bizarre, wild stories from the Old Testament where you're wondering and thinking, these people have completely lost their minds. There's this animal sacrifices. They're taking the blood from the animal sacrifices, as you heard in the first reading, and they're sprinkling it on the altar. And then another half of the blood from the animal sacrifices, they're pouring in these big old basin jars, and they're pouring it on the head of the people there. And you're like, what the heck is going on? But the reading was from Exodus chapter 24 is deliberately chosen to be proclaimed today on Corpus Christi, coupled with the gospel, which we are all familiar with, the gospel of those words of our Lord saying, take this, eat of it. This is my body. And so using our minds to better understand the Eucharist is crucial. Knowing that the plan that God had from the beginning to be present with us, to abide with us in this way, is so important. Many of us have a second grade understanding of the Eucharist. And that isn't a condemnation, that isn't a frustration. I had a second grade understanding of the Eucharist up until 1 year when I entered the seminary. But it's not okay to have a second grade understanding of anything, unless you're second grade, right? And you're second grade, or second graders here. Certainly not the thing that we, like, why we come here. And part of it's, like, not our fault, right? As I said, just maybe poor catechesis that say, hey, this is the Eucharist, just believe it, understand it, it's a mystery, believe it. Father Don and I, wanting to kind of switch that tide, we've put on the website. Can't miss it, OurLadyMercy.com. Right underneath the top banner is another banner that says Eucharist Resources. And on there, we have 6 resources. 2 books, 2 one-hour audio talks, 1 series of 3 videos on Formed, and a registration link to the Bible study on the Eucharist that will begin next Thursday. Pick one. Pick one of those 6 and dive in. Let the Lord peel back the layers of your heart to understand in a new way of what happens here. If it's the book, over the course of it, make it your summer read. If you're not a reader, you don't like to read, or you don't have the time to read, listen to the 1-hour audio talk that's a match from the book. Listen to it on your way to work, on your way back to work, or back home. Listen to it when the kids are sleeping, taking their nap. When you're doing yard work. Watch this series on Formed, those 3 30-minute videos with your entire family. Instead of whatever show or Netflix, 3 videos with your family. Or come to the Bible study beginning next Thursday on the Eucharist. Let the Lord peel back our layers to help us have an understanding of what we're doing here. So now the most important part. So what? Maybe I listen to Father Mark and I pick one of those 6 options. I dive in. My understanding of the Eucharist increases. And it will. Right? If nothing less, for when your children or your grandchildren ask you, like, Mom, Dad, this Eucharist thing, body, blood of Jesus, be able to better explain it to them. A neighbor, a friend, a coworker. Wait, you're one of those Catholics, right? Like, and you believe what again about the Eucharist? You're able to better tell them because you have a better understanding. But is that the end, a better understanding? Hardly. The end goal of Corpus Christi, the end goal of this homily, please God, is to hear the call of Jesus pleading with you and me to come and waste time with him before the Blessed Sacrament. To be sure, God is everywhere, and he's everywhere. The world is his cathedral, and you can waste time with him anywhere, at home, in the car. You can waste time with him anywhere, but he is nowhere like he is there, because he's truly present, hidden under the appearance of bread, waiting for you and I to waste time with him. So a friendship can grow and develop with him. So I can throw all my fears, all my concerns, all my anxieties at him. To be in communion with the one who made me. For him to reveal to me that he's a good father, that I'm in the palm of his hands and that he can't drop me. That he cares, that I can have security in him. So if you or I are not yet in the habit of at least weekly spending time before him in the Blessed Sacrament, I beg you, start. You may or may not know that on Mondays and Thursdays here we have Eucharistic adoration. From 8:30 in the morning to 6 p.m. at night. Eucharistic adoration is when this is a monstrance, Latin word meaning to show what? Our Lord, a consecrated host, our Lord in the monstrance. For Eucharist adoration, you need at least two adorers with him because of him being out. Mondays and Thursdays, we need more adorers to fill times and eventually to expand, hopefully, Eucharistic adoration. The Lord is in some way knocking on your heart. We ask that you sign up in two tables on either side of the narthex to commit to spending 1 hour with him a week in Eucharistic adoration. You also may or may not know that there's a side door, back door here, that's unlocked. Always unlocked from 7 o'clock in the morning to 8 p.m. at night. It's closed only when there's Mass going on. Otherwise, it's open for you and I to come in and spend time with him, to stop in. The parking lot right there, that's open for you and I, even for 10 minutes, to make a little pit stop. On the way to work, on the way back from work. When your kids are taking a nap. Actually, no, you can't do that, right? The kids are taking a nap. Don't do that. No. But sometime. That goes for if you're 80 years old or those teens who just got their license at 16. And everywhere in between. Home over college, when you're back at school, at the Newman Center, stop in. Put the phone down for a minute, off Snapchat, off Instagram, and be with him in silence for 10 minutes, I guarantee you your life will change. I guarantee it. As oftentimes on this, it leads to more and more isolation. And you may be all alone in this chapel as those doors close, those wooden doors close. And you may be the only one, as those chairs are turned the other way, and you may be the only one in there, but I promise you, you will feel the opposite of being alone or isolated. Throw your concerns, throw your fears, and be with the one who made you, who wants to love on you like you have no idea. Come and waste time with him. Two people in the 16th century. One who said that today was the greatest of abominations. The other hid priests in her home so as to preserve the Eucharist and was killed for doing so. Today or tomorrow, visit the website. Choose one of those six that's on there. Whether it's one of those books, whether it's an audio talk, listen to it solo, listen to it with your family, watch the videos on your family. Choose one. Better understand of what it is that we are here for. Like, the Mass means Eucharist. It's so easy just to do things and just have it be rote. It's natural. It's part of human. Choose one of those six to better understand. To better understand why we're here. So as the desire to spend time with him. So as to be transformed.